Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally!
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, Philly's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn-deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hotel!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my
Welcome everyone to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. We are back. It might be a little bit late. We apologize for that, but it's been my schedule that's been screwing everything up this week. So Scotty Villa here with UK Tom, and that's it. Tom, just you and I.
We fired Mike. Because he's a bitch.
All the best to your future endeavors there, Mike.
Yeah, not from me.
Luckily, though, Mike.
Okay, I'm lying.
He's not fired. He's just been banned. But luckily, he was able to pick up a high school girl's job, and he's babysitting tonight. So he'll be back next week, as long as his babysitting schedule doesn't get in the way. UK Tom and Scotty V here on the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Hit us up on the socials at In My House Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and you can find all of our fun stuff that we do there, which we should probably do more of at some point, but we'll see.
But we'll have a good opportunity to do something a little bit fun maybe in a couple of weeks when all three of us are at the CWE show.
Dude, isn't that next week?
It's the week after next.
Is it the week after? Okay. I was like, yeah, that might be so, next week.
2 weeks yesterday, 19th.
Nice. Dude, I'm excited. I'm excited.
But also, I mean, I'm excited for the show, and seeing Juventude is going to be great. But a fucking Tuesday?
No, I'm not going to kill Danny for it, because I guarantee you he tried to avoid this as much as possible. But with the Grey Cup on the week, but the Grey Cup on the weekend right before it, there's a chance the Riders could be in there. It would have been just the three of us at that show, I imagine.
And we still would have been just as loud.
That's true. It would have been super loud there. But yeah, Canadian Wrestling League coming through.
I would never bury Danny or CWE for anything. They're the few people that can get away from me cutting a promo on them this week.
They put on such a fantastic show. And the tour they're on has looked like it's been so much fun. And I'm pretty pumped for them to come through the Queen City here. So the In My House Pod can go watch a little live pro wrestling.
Have you seen the match they've given us for Hoovie too? It's him versus Sean Moore.
Damn, really?
That's going to be good.
Tom, we're in for a treat.
That's going to be a good one.
I'm very excited about that. If you guys are going, or you've gone to some of the shows that have been on the tour already in different areas of Manitoba and Saskatchewan, let us know what you thought of the show. Let us know what you think. And, yeah, we'll reply back to you on the socials if you've been there.
And if you live in Regina and listen to us and you come into the show, come say hi. And if you live in Regina and you listen to us and you're not coming to the show, what the fuck?
Get out there and support local pro wrestling. It's easy to do. Yeah. It's cheap. It's fun. The nights are fantastic. CWE coming through on the 19th. Ringside Wrestling, which has another promotion in the area here. They have a show the first Friday of December, which might be like December 1st or 2nd. They just announced their card as well. So definitely get out there. We haven't been there in a while and I feel real bad, but I have a great time at Ringside. They're a lot of fun. There's some great, great wrestlers on that card that I would like to see a little bit more sharing between CWE and Ringside. I don't know if that's possible, but just for some of those wrestlers that need to move up to work with guys they've never worked with to get more experience, I think it would be great. But yeah, definitely check out Ringside Wrestling online. Same with CWE Canadian Wrestling Elite. Give them a follow, hit up their shows, go support local wrestling and those wrestlers because they put on a hell of a show.
Yeah. Speaking of hell of a show, but not so local, there was a WWE pay-per-view this weekend.
That was a really, really great transition.
It was a bit of a mixed bag. So maybe we should talk about that, I guess.
We should get into Crown Jewel from the not so local Saudi Arabia. And Tom, to me, it was a fine show. I didn't dislike really anything on the show, but I wasn't blown away by anything. And that seems to be the standard right now with the Saudi Arabia Crown Jewel type shows. They're kind of their own storylines in going into it. And I feel like this show specifically, they're kind of getting out of that. In the Vince era, it was kind of like book for Saudi and then we'll figure everything out after.
And see, go ahead. And I kind of miss the fucking random crazy Saudi shows where you got like Undertaker versus Goldberg for no fucking reason, or you got a random sumo wrestler because they requested Yokozuna not knowing he was dead. So I miss that, but I do also like the fact that it's now part of it's just part of the year. It's not its own special thing. I like that they seem to have given them King of the Ring and now Crown Jewel. I like that they have they're a thing. That's fun.
Yeah. It adds to that show. It helps that show for building a storyline going into that show. And now what we've seen on Monday Night Raw this week, there's storylines coming out of it, which we didn't really get with the big storylines much before. You've usually got like a Roman match where he would have a great match. Like he fought Logan Paul at a Saudi show, I believe.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. You know, so you did get some stuff, but then you also got Goldberg versus Undertaker. And we almost saw the end of the Undertaker there. We got the return of Shawn Michaels and in that tag team match years ago with DX versus Kane and Undertaker. And that was a fucking train wreck, but not because of bad wrestling, just everything that could have gone bad went bad.
You know, I gotta let the world in on a secret.
What is it?
I liked that match.
Really? Tom.
It was chaos, and I'm all for chaos and nostalgia. I was not disappointed.
So to recap, Triple H gets hurt in that very early in that match.
Yep. Kane's wig fell off.
Kane's wig and mask fell completely clean off. And
Shawn Michaels was bald. And
so
an Undertaker was in his immobile phase.
Yes, he wasn't moving very well at all. I love the build-up to it. Like the build-up on Raw a couple weeks before was fun because it was our guys from the Attitude Era that we loved so much, right?
It was great. And it was what wrestling's supposed to be. It was just, well, maybe not, but it was fun.
For me, and you know me, Shawn Michaels is my guy. He's my favorite wrestler of all time. He can do no wrong. I think he is the greatest pro wrestler of all time. I didn't watch that match. I watched the show. I did not watch that match for over a year. I didn't want Shawn back. He left perfectly. So I didn't watch that match. And I find out afterwards what happens. And I'm like, I can't. this can't be his last match, so I'm not watching it, so it won't be his last match. This is how I framed it in my mind.
Oh, I have a question for you then, and then we'll move back to Crown Jewel.
Sure.
But so there was rumors a couple years ago that Shawn Michaels was going to wrestle Adam Cole at an NXT TakeOver. What would have been your opinion on that?
I probably would have loved it. I think it would have cleansed my palate because of the previous Saudi match that was just a disaster, right? And Shawn had to carry that match because Hunter was hurt. And I have no doubt that Adam Cole would have protected Shawn because of Shawn's ring rust or whatever it would have been. I think Shawn would have been amazing, but I think they both would have had a great match. And then that would have been it. But at the same time, it didn't happen. And I'm good with it not happening. So,
and I, the visual of Shawn Michaels taking a Canadian destroyer just blows my mind. So I wish that would have happened.
Oh,
he would have sold the shit out of that.
Absolutely. He would have, it would have been amazing. And it would have scared me because he's an old man, you know? So it would have been, it would have been pretty wild. Man, now you got my gears turning. But anyway, let's get back to Crown Jewel.
Current Saudi and current rest. This is why we need Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. He's usually giving us the wrap up signal. Let's fucking get back on track. That's literally my job every day in radio. But Crown Jewel this past weekend opened with the Bloodline match, which I thought was wild when I saw that was what's starting. Because it's Roman. It's only his second match back. It's the Bloodline versus the Bloodline. It's massive and huge, but when you see the rest of the card and the way it plays out, it makes sense that that's where it's going to start. We've got a clean, evil Bloodline victory with Roman taking the pin.
I quite liked that.
Tom, the internet hates it. You love it. Well, you said you quite like it. I shouldn't say love, but...
Well, that's pretty standard for my opinion of things. I'm usually fairly opposite to whatever the internet's saying. Yeah. One thing I didn't like was it was 27 minutes between the opening of the show and the bell ringing.
You had pointed that out in the group chat, and I was like, wow, it's been that long. Then I looked at my clock. I'm like, yeah, he's right.
Yeah, I don't want that. The match, to be honest, was kind of crappy. Like, I was bored.
It wasn't the best Bloodline match.
It was super kick, super kick, super kick, spike, finished. And I did like that Roman took the pin, though. It gives Solo some credibility that he was lacking.
They needed that victory. The Bloodline and Solo have taken too many losses from Roman and the Usos and whoever else it's been every time they've kind of gone head-to-head. So it was a very much needed win. Plus, it adds to the fact because there was an extra body out there with Tongaloa around ringside. So it still was kind of a 4-on-3 situation. So it added that layer of a couple weeks ago when Jimmy had said, we need help, man. We need help. Yeah. So I like that.
I do have a Scotty V and nitpick.
Oh, what is it?
I wish it was Jacob Fatu that pinned him.
I think Solo was the right guy. I think we get some sort of Jacob Fatu moment over Roman by the end of the Rumble.
But can you imagine going into their first ever one-on-one match if Jacob Fatu had pinned him?
Dude, you're not wrong. I agree. I think they're trying to kill some of the hope that we're going to get Roman versus Jacob at like WrestleMania or something. I think they're trying to still establish like Solo is the guy. Solo is the most dangerous guy on that team. And a lot of us aren't buying. I know a lot of us aren't buying it. Right. So it's become the Jacob Fatu. We need to see him break out and be the guy to take down Roman or take over Roman and then have Roman overcome him, because it's been a while where someone has, you know, stood over Roman. And I think Jacob Fatu has that stature or that demeanor, that look that can put a little bit of fear into Roman. And I think it's needed.
So like I said, this match wasn't fantastic, but it also it wasn't the worst thing I've seen this year. Then we moved on to I don't even know what. I should probably get up the I know we're not going to go through everything.
Yeah, no, you check that out. I want to get into really quickly. Sami Zayn did come to help out at the end of that match. So
the oh, shit, I forgot about that.
You shouldn't. It's Sami Zayn. You should be banned for
forgetting. Well, that's why about Sami. I forgot.
So after the match, it's the beatdown. We all know that it's 4-on-3. Roman's getting his ass handed to him. The Usos are getting their asses handed to him. Sami Zayn comes out to a huge pop, comes out to help his former bloodline family. Eventually, the Tongans and Jacob Fatu are laid out on the ringside area. It's just Solo in the middle of the ring. We've got an Uso and Roman and Sami in each of the four corners. And Roman goes for the Superman punch at the same time that Sami goes for the Huluva kick on Solo. Solo moves, and Sami Zayn catches Roman right in the face with a Huluva kick. And the Usos are pissed at Sami. It looks like an accident, but was it an accident?
It was awesome.
Right?
Which hurts my soul because it was Sami Zayn.
It doesn't it? But it gives your soul so much love and so much joy.
But it was great. The timing of it was great. The pop was great. Corey Graves pissed everybody off with a comment that I don't even think I heard. But it was a very good segment to follow a not so great match.
Dude, it added another layer that I didn't see coming. I hope that Sami would come out. We're hoping that Sami joins the original bloodline at Survivor Series, possibly in a War Games match. Yeah. But Sami just kicked Roman Reigns in the face. Whether it was an accident or not, it happened. So what's the plan now? We saw what happened on Monday night with a great promo between the Usos and then Sami Zayn. And Sami Zayn coming out and saying, I'm not the guy that you should be worrying about. I'm not the guy that's turned my back on you guys. Jimmy, you're the guy that's kicked me in the face. You kicked Roman in the face. You kicked Jim or Jay in the face. I'm not the guy you need to be worried about, right?
That was a fantastic promo on Raw.
Go out of your way to find it on Twitter, on wherever you find Raw. It's great.
Next at Crown Jewel, we had the Fatal 4-Way for the Women's Tag Team match, which I thought was fantastic.
Very good match.
I had a lot of fun watching this, and Metaphor of Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson looked fantastic. That the pop-up powerbomb thing they did was amazing on Kairi Sane.
It's awesome. Dude, it's fun to watch. It's great to watch, but you're still like, oh, I just wish they were seasoned a little bit more. Because then
they need work.
We can all see them thinking about what to do next. And that's just being young in the business, in a business we've never been in, but this is what the people in the business say. So we're saying it too as fans. So it'll come. I'm not worried one bit what are their names? Jade Cargill and Lash Legend and Jakara, Jakara Jackson. They will get there. It's all about reps, more house shows.
Oh, yeah, they will.
So it's nice to see them getting a spot. A Fatal 4-Way tag team match is fun, and they all brought it. Solid match.
It was very good. Next is the match that I enjoyed probably the most of the whole show, but the result pissed me off. And that is Seth freaking Rollins against Bronson Reed. Side note, please drop the freaking from his name.
They need to drop a lot from Seth right now. Freaking is a good start, and just the goofy over-the-top character can go. I think it's slowly going, but he's still coming out with wild outfits. I just don't think they're as wild. Fun match. My second favorite match of the night. I agree with you, Tom. I believe that Bronson should have gotten that win. And then, hell, you could have had Seth win on Monday Night Raw like the night after. But I think Bronson needed a big win over a big star like Seth.
Seth, they're trying to push Bronson as a big deal, and they're doing a good job of doing that. But he lost to Braun Strowman because of Seth. He just lost semi-clean to Seth. And the match was great. And Bronson, for a guy that big, like, he doesn't get gassed.
Yeah. He can go.
And like I he did a couple of tours of the UK and I saw him taking superplexes in shitty indie UK rings and I'm like, dude, don't do that. But like I remember he was in a rumble in the UK and he was in there for about 40 minutes and he just did not look gassed at all.
Really?
But he needed to win this to kind of establish himself as a big deal and he didn't. And Seth doesn't get anything from this win.
I'm with you there. I think they tried to protect Bronson by still standing up after the three count and staring down Seth, but I don't think it worked.
Yeah.
I don't think it worked. Because
also, what's your thoughts on that super stomp thing he's done a couple of times? I think it looks fucking stupid.
I don't like it. I like when he's able to do that stomp out of nowhere and it kind of surprises you is fun. I've always liked Seth using the pedigree, to be honest with you. Once he started doing that as a finisher, I would really like that. But the super stomp thing, unless you're going to lay that shit in and be the guy that take it really, really well, doesn't do much for me.
It worked on Omos because that man is fucking 27 foot tall. Yeah. But I didn't like it in this match. From there, we moved on to Liv versus Nia. The least said about that, the better. So we then had the triple threat for the United States Championship, which was LA Knight against Andrade. I still call him Andrade Cien Almas.
So do I.
And Carmelo Hayes.
This was my match of the night.
This was the best LA Knight match I've seen him have. And it was just a lot of fun. Looking at these results, though, it was a lot shorter than I thought it was.
It wasn't super long, but they packed a lot in. I'm going to say it did remind me a bit of 9 minutes.
9 minutes. That was it.
Huh. You could have fit that in the opening of the show. you know,
you could have fit fucking four of them in the opening of the show.
This match reminded me of an AEW style match. They just went, and I think it was the right call. I think you needed to find a way to showcase Andrade, to showcase Carmelo, and you needed a way to kind of have LA Knight fucking pick it up a little bit because his matches aren't very exciting, and we got an exciting match that involved LA Knight. So,
you know, my favorite part of the match was him landing on his balls.
He's got to stop doing the whole leaping from the ring to the top rope gimmick because it's getting a little 50-50 on if he can do it. And he crotched himself on this one. And it's been a long time since I've hilariously popped in wrestling the way I did for that moment there.
Yeah. If he wasn't circumcised before, he is now. But I think if he's in the opening match, he can do that jumpy up thing fine, but as soon as it starts getting sweaty in there, he can't do it.
Yeah, that's a good call. LA Knight won. I had
Andrade
winning. Mike had Carmelo winning. In my mind it was clear there's no way Andrade or LA Knight's dropping the title now. He hasn't really done anything with it that's been big, so I'm like, why are these guys picking the wrong guy?
But see, the reason I went with it is because I didn't think they were going to do that 7-match series just to throw it away and have them both lose to a fucking jobber.
That's my big nitpick about this all is the 7th match of the series got completely thrown away. And then we finally get it, but it's a triple threat with LA Knight. I still want that final match between Andrade and Carmelo to see who the man is.
I want them to in a ladder match. Give me it.
Ooh, good call. Very good call.
So, and so when Carmelo got called up, I was not a fan of him.
Not one bit.
This 7-match series has made me a fan of him.
It worked. Tom, it worked. It worked for a lot of us where either we didn't know of him or he just wasn't our guy. We weren't super invested in him in NXT and on early SmackDown days, but it's worked and it doesn't always work.
And the only thing I have about him now, and it's the same as quite a lot of people these days, change his fucking finish. It's stupid.
It's dumb. Dumb as shit.
I mean, it looks great as just a move, but no, don't do that.
Plus, people his size, like, he's not the biggest guy stature wise. He's kind of like a Ricochet style look.
Yeah,
he's very built, but he's not a thick guy. He's not a very tall guy. He's not a very wide guy. He is a smaller wrestler. A wrestler like that needs a very exciting finish. I don't want it to be a move like he's got right now. I don't want it to be a submission hold ever. It's got to be something flashy and cool and quick.
He has an amazing 450. Let him use that.
Yeah. Agreed.
And so we also, and it's not really listed on the results, but we had Randy Orton and Kevin Owens causing chaos all over Saudi.
Yeah, I don't think that match even really officially started, right? They just brawled, and then the GMs come out, and then which one took an RKO?
Adam Pearce.
Yeah, he took it well.
He Adam's a hell of a wrestler.
You've been saying it, Tom. You've been saying it. You want a GM versus GM match.
I want it, and I wouldn't even be mad if it was at WrestleMania.
I think if it's not like, Survivor Series, WrestleMania is the place it has to be.
And I'm wondering if they're teasing it for Survivor Series, because like Adam Pearce was losing his shit at Nick Aldis down the phone a couple of Raws ago, and Nick's done it back. I'm wondering if they're heading for that.
Do you think we get, instead of a one-on-one, we get Adam Pearce and Randy Orton versus Nick Aldis and Kevin Owens?
I don't think so, because Randy Orton just dropped Adam Pearce with an RKO.
All right, good call. Yeah. And they're all on SmackDown except for Pearce.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'd be curious to see, like, I'm thinking with my Vince brain now, like, oh, they would make it a tag team match automatically. But with Triple H, I'm sure he'd be like, I trust you guys to get through a match on your own. You're both in shape. You're both great wrestlers. Go ahead.
And the other thing is, too, Adam Pearce is still a trainer. So he's not got that ring rust.
True.
And Nick Aldis wrestled full time up until last year.
And is still a trainer. Exactly. I'd be blown away if I ever saw Nick Aldis match now where he had a little bit of ring rust and stuff. The guy's an insane athlete.
It blows my mind though, because I don't know if everybody knows this. A lot of people probably do, but he came from the UK Gladiators.
Yeah.
That's where he was. And I remember he was on there and he just looked like a baby. He was so funny.
Well, even when he first came to TNA, he looked like a bit of a baby, and they gave him this big gladiator gimmick. What was his Magnus something or something?
Brutus Magnus.
That's what it was. And then he comes out, I'm like, this guy's very big.
No, I mean, that was the thing. Like, for the UK, he's a big old fucker, but for over here, not so much.
Yeah.
I thought that brawl was really fun. I don't really know where they're going with it. Like, we've already got two war games at Survivor Series. I don't think they're going to chuck another gimmick at us. And maybe they're going to is that going to be the main event of Saturday Night Main Event?
Do you think they could hold off on Randy versus Kevin until mid-December, though?
That's only 6 weeks.
Yeah, I feel like they got too close, though, by announcing the match at Saudi, that they kind of have to redo it in some way to give us it soon. I don't want to see Kevin Owens getting suspended or Randy getting suspended for 6 weeks.
I think we get a match, not this week on SmackDown, next week, that goes to a DQ.
Okay, I'd be good with that.
Maybe quickly.
Yeah.
And then that can get us through to... My thing is, and it's not just these two, and I've mentioned it before, people got to wrestle more.
Yes.
Like, and this... My thing is, just bring back jobbers. Have Kevin Owens run through somebody in 10 seconds. But just in the ring. Get in the ring.
I agree.
And then we had the main event, which was Cody versus Gunther, which I do not want to talk about at all. So there we are.
This match was meh. It wasn't, it's not something I'd go back and watch. It was a fine wrestling match. I hated that the crowd hijacked it, to be honest with you. That took me right out of it.
The thing is, now we all know Gunther has an old school style. And that works for some people. Like him and Randy was fantastic.
Yes.
Cody can't do that style. And that's not a knock on him.
Yeah, he's a bit of a gear up where he needs to get going. Like he'll keep it slow in the beginning, but then it gets going and then he sells and then he gets going and Gunther will just wear you down.
Yep. It didn't work.
I think better story going into it would have helped. I think if Gunther had basically destroyed Cody a couple weeks in a row before going into that match, so Cody is like the underdog going in, would have helped. But it was just two champions going in to win a big money prize kind of type thing, right? And yes, just didn't land.
And also, WWE have a bad habit of this, and I've always hated it. Don't give me the main event of a pay-per-view on SmackDown before in a tag match. Don't do that.
I don't like that either.
Because now Cody's beat Gunther 2 days in a row, technically.
I will say, with that happening, I think that is a seed for later, maybe at next SummerSlam, with Gunther coming back to get his victories from Cody.
But they've just proved they can't work.
I think they can work if there's a story. There wasn't a story. I think that's what really killed this, because Cody's matches that are big and that we really enjoy have good stories to them. So that's it. That's Crown Jewel. It was a fine show. If I had to pick a match to go back and watch, it would be the Triple Threat. And that would probably be it. But it was a fine show. I'm already moved on. I'm looking forward to Survivor Series in Vancouver. The day of the show, Tom, it was announced early Saturday morning that Goldberg is coming back to WWE for one more match, his retirement match, sometime in 2025. And there's a lot of Goldberg hate out there.
Did they specifically say one more match?
They said a retirement match in 2025 in WWE, and it will happen in WWE.
So if they did specifically say one more match, that shits all over my idea. But I was thinking, and I'm actually looking forward to this, as much as people hate Goldberg, and I'm all for the legends. I love watching them. I love when they come back. I was thinking that maybe they could run. You remember when Ric Flair retired back in 2008?
Yep.
And they had the next time you lose a match, you're done.
I loved it.
I thought they could do that with Goldberg.
That's and such just, a good idea.
Again, with the jobbers, bring back jobbers. Have Goldberg squash, I don't know, fucking Joey Janela. Joey's not a jobber, but just have him run through people, or like Austin Theory. And
Grayson Waller,
people who can bump guys for him.
Yep, there's guys. So the official WWE Twitter says, this was 4 days ago on Saturday, breaking: Goldberg just announced that his retirement match will take place next year in WWE. So it doesn't specifically say he's coming back for one more match. So it's just his last match next year in WWE.
If he wins like 10 matches, even if they're all in a minute, I don't care. It's Goldberg. That's his shtick. Then feed him to Gunther, which is exactly what I think we're all thinking is going to happen.
I agree. I think Gunther is the guy that needs to beat him. A lot of people are saying Bron Breakker as well, because I guess they kind of have similar move sets and intensity. I don't think Bron Breakker is the guy.
Goldberg, Scott Steiner history.
Very true. That's a good call too. I don't like it. I think it has to be Gunther. I think Gunther being the guy to say I retired Goldberg would be huge. It would probably be huge with anybody. Do you think he has to lose his last match?
I think everybody should lose their last match.
Do you think he will lose his last match?
He's lost a lot of matches before. When he came back to WWE.
So I was listening to Busted Open on Tuesday, I think it was. And Dave LaGreca, the host, said he doesn't need to lose his last match. And Bully said, absolutely not. And Tommy said, absolutely not.
His Dave LaGreca's a dick.
Dave LaGreca's a god. Love Dave.
He's
big,
a dick.
Big Dave Mark. Big Dave.
Dave,
Mark.
You're a dick.
So his reasoning was, the last time Goldberg came back, he lost. And who did he lose to? It was Roman Reigns at the Elimination Chamber, I believe 2 years ago is what he said.
Yeah.
And that helped launch Roman into another stratosphere where he becomes the two-time champ and just helping build that legacy of the tribal chief Roman Reigns. So Dave argued, he already did that. Let Goldberg go out the way we remember him. Spear, jackhammer, in and out. And I kind of don't hate it.
So do the 10 matches, spear, jackhammer, in and out, and then have him do for somebody else what he did for Roman. Then we get another huge star.
I can't argue that one bit. Not one bit. And Tom, go ahead.
The reason I think it can't be Braun Breaker is that match would not work. He's not experienced enough.
I agree.
Gunther can work with Goldberg.
And they planted that seed Gunther already, right?
Exactly. And Gunther is such a worker, he'll have no problem getting up for the jackhammer.
I agree. I'm going to predict right now, my official prediction, whenever the retirement match is and whenever it is in WWE, Goldberg will lose to Gunther. Somehow Dominic Mysterio will be involved. And
yep,
even though he's lost, he will still hit the spear and the jackhammer on Dominic and the crowd will go home happy.
100%. I like that booking.
Guys and girls out there, let us know your predictions on how Goldberg's career will come to an end in WWE, his retirement match. Fantasy book it. We'd love to hear it. Hit us up on the socials at In My Host Pod, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Tom, we got about 90 seconds left. We got just a fun pop quiz question that won't count towards points, so Mike won't cry.
Well, Mike loses 10 points for not being here, but...
Stiff job.
Okay. What was Rey Mysterio's original wrestling name?
Oh, Jesus. I have heard this. I'm not confident with this. Did it have something to do with some sort of Pegasus name?
No.
Oh, then I'm off. I'm going to guess La Flama Blanca. I don't know.
It was Calibre.
It was what?
Calibre, which means hummingbird in Spanish.
Oh, I thought you said Cody Bray, and I'm like, they gave him a white guy name? That's wild.
Two white guy names.
Yeah. It's been Scotty Villa and UK Tom here. Mike will be back next week. I don't know what the nickname is. I almost called him his old original one, but Mike will be back with us next week. Dude, fun show. Thanks for hanging out.
That was great.
We'll be back next week. Hit us up on the socials. Until then, this has been the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Mike's a bitch. Welcome to my house. Play that music.